Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone. Once again, you're back with your girl, Technisha, on the Bright Side with Technisha. Yes, I am doing my show this afternoon because of my guest request. So that's how things are here on this show. But once again, happy Cinco de Mayo. I hope you out there having fun. Drink up. Drink all your margaritas. Eat your tacos, everything, honey. I got to go to work at 5 o'clock today, so I won't be able to enjoy all that good time. But hopefully, who knows, maybe after work I can catch a good drink or something like that. But anyhow, I'm just waiting on my guest, Chris, to call on in so we can get this party started. And then we will be able to rock the box and I can do my thing. So while we're waiting on Chris, I'll just hit you with some tunes. Oh, never mind. Chris is on the line right now. Good. Now, here with me, Chris Kanik is the co-founder of New Hope Film Festival. So how are you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. It's a blissful day. Sun is out shining, so I'm ready. I go to work at 5. I can't party like everybody else since it's Cinco de Mayo, but that's all right. I was telling the listeners, hopefully I can catch you after work. So
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, I love your energy. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, Chris, give us some background on you. So where you reside? Let's start off first. You are from New Jersey, and so now where are you residing at now?
I live in California now.
Okay.
And I've lived here for several years now.
Okay, so you definitely out there with the sun. You don't have to worry about the cold too much.
No, I moved out here, and I don't deal with the cold anymore. That's the good thing.
Now, you know I'm probably going to have to ask this one now. Since you are from New Jersey, any thoughts or comments about Governor Christie, you know, with that bridge scandal and his ability to handle New Jersey's notorious politics?
Well,
you know, I'm asking. You know how you come out from New Jersey.
New Jersey is a rare place. It's one of the more politically corrupt places in the world. But, you know, I personally have no problem with Chris Christie. I actually think that I'd actually vote for him for president if I could.
Right.
So I like his attitude. I like the fact that he gets things done and he's not afraid to say what he wants to say. And that's a rare character that you don't find in leaders anymore.
Right. I mean, it's already enough pressure. Just being in politics is enough pressure. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't be in the spotlight. It looked like they'll find
the most
little dirt on you just to be part of that world. They'll find any little thing. Oh, she crossed the street. She was jaywalking. I saw her. She was jaywalking. That's right. Get her. That's a fine.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Chris, with this New Hope Film Festival, of course, when I think of that, I think of Sundance Film Festival, these small film organizations that real people don't sometimes recognize, because I was looking on the site and I seen movies that I never had heard of, and that's what I want to know. Why is it that we don't hardly hear about these movies as much until, like, awards they come out?
Yeah, no, I mean, the process for getting films, the reason you don't hear about these films is they're independently made films, so they're not big budget studio movies. They're not like Spider-Man or Iron Man or any of those, or Transformers. You know, these are small films that are made with small budgets from, you know, unknown filmmakers. And the process for getting a film out is, you know, you make your film, you raise your money, you get your film, and then you submit it to film festivals, and that's the first place that you go. And you submit to a film festival hoping that you're going to get a distribution deal. You know, you hope that somebody like a Harvey Weinstein's in the crowd and loves it and buys your movie and then distributes it. So that's the reason you really don't hear about these films until award season comes around. Sundance is the biggest one. You know, Sundance is makes a lot of money every year. You know, the system has become. I think there's over like 3,000 film festivals worldwide. Everybody has a dream, and everybody submits to film festivals hoping that their film gets noticed, recognition, and gets distribution. So I said, you know, we started off, NewHo started off with a distribution company, and we were going out to the film festivals looking for films, and, you know, we decided, you know, there's a better way to do this. And we decided, why don't we create an online film festival, which nobody had ever done before, and bring all the content to us, and we'll pick and choose what we like. And in doing so, it just became a different monster. We were able to accomplish something that had never been done before in the industry. We got in the 3 weeks that we were showing our films, we had over 75,000 people come to our site in 131 countries and 50 states. Now, for website purposes, that's not really great. You know, you get these websites that get millions of people. But our content's only there for 3 weeks. It's a film festival, and it wasn't unlimited plays. It was a limited screening, just like a film festival. If you can't make the 9 o'clock showing at Theater 7, you're shit out of luck. You're not going to see that movie again. We did something really cool, really special. Spike Lee came out and supported what we were trying to do and make money for filmmakers, get them distribution, get them recognition. You look at the numbers, we did more numbers than, you know, Sundance and Toronto put together. We had more people come to our film festival than the two biggest film festivals around. So, you know, we did something cool.
And see, that's a good thing. I mean, that you came up with this concept for even doing it. Chris, who is really responsible for the concept behind it? Are you the main brain behind this?
Me and my partner, Keith Mitchell.
Okay.
Keith Mitchell. You know, this idea came out of a necessity, and it just blossomed into something that we didn't even imagine it becoming. I give Keith Mitchell the credit for the film festival idea.
Okay. Now, of course, Josh Mitchell is the one who contacted me about you, so that's how I got to know you. Now, Okay, is he the same one, or that's different?
No. They're actually not related.
Okay.
Josh and Keith are actually not related. No, Josh, just a random email said, hey, you know, I do PR, and would you be interested? And I said, why not? Give it a shot, you know?
Right.
So we gave him a shot for 1 month, and he was really able to do some really cool things.
Well, I'm sorry. I am. I'm happy for you, Chris, that things are actually working out for you in your favor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are your thoughts on the entertainment business?
I'm not a big fan of the entertainment business. I think the entertainment business is overall, it's dictated by arrogance and pride and hubris. And those are the things that dictate, you know, why does somebody want to be a celebrity? Is it because they love entertaining people or because they like the attention? You know, why does somebody want to be an actor? Because they like being on stage or because they want to become a millionaire and date hot models? You know, why does somebody want to become a producer so that they can, you know, live poor? And no, because they want to wear jackets, you know, sports jeans, and hang around models and actresses all day, you know, pretend to be big shots. It's the biggest BS business there is going. Now, I got sucked into entertainment, but I've never seen a business controlled by dumb people in my life. It's not a hard business to understand. It's just very irrational. And once you can get past all that minutia and you could run it like a business, then you can make a lot of money and you could do things effectively. But, you know, when you have all the other BS that gets in the way of everything, you know, then you're not running a business. Now it's just BS, you know?
Yeah, and then you have to be so careful when you get into those type of businesses because it's just so much. And I think that's why people sometimes get out of them, especially these song artists. They get out of those type of things because it's almost like you're selling yourself. You're giving it so much sacrifice going in with it. And then you hear so much of Illuminata and all that sacrificial stuff. And I'm like, whoa, that's a deep topic right there. I don't even try to get into that one when they start talking about that, which celebrity is part of that sacrificial thing. I'd be like, no, that's not cool. I just hope they are not doing that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's... I don't know whether any of that stuff is true or not. And but I just know from my experiences of people, what do I experience? I experience a lot of irrationality. I experience a lot of hubris, a lot of arrogance. And by and large, not very many smart people. Not many people who could go get a job somewhere else if it wasn't for all the BS in Hollywood. I'll tell you that much, you know? So
I do. I can understand that. Now, you have worked with known comedians such as Damon Wayans, Charlie Murphy, et cetera. Now, who's your favorite comedian?
My favorite comedian, I'd say George Carlin was the best. And George Carlin, I grew up watching George Carlin. I probably had irresponsible parents, but, you know, I grew up watching George Carlin. And, you know, one of his HBO specials he did in my town in New Jersey. And I always said, you know, I want to come back. I want to do a HBO special here. You know, I don't really do comedy anymore. But George Carlin, he really influenced me. You know, then there are other guys around right now. You know, like I think Joe Rogan's a great comedian. I think Aziz Ansari is a great comedian. There's a lot of really good young comedians right now that are really breaking the mold of what, you know, comedy used to be. I like comics to make you think. I don't like really, you know, I don't like the stuff that I've heard before. I don't really gravitate towards that. I like comics who make me think, who force me to go, oh, all right. Not necessarily in a funny way, but in a thought-provoking way. I mean, I've got a buddy named Giannis Pappas, who's on Fusion right now, and he was my mentor doing comedy. He's a comic who, you know, I mean, he's older than I am, and he's been in the game for a while. But he's a comic who gets on stage and he makes the audience think. You know, Joe Rogan does that. George Carlin did that. You know, Pryor did that. You know, the guys like Seinfeld and you know, I respect what they do, but they're not my cup of tea.
Yeah, because I was going to say Richard Pryor, yeah, he had a way of making you actually think. I mean, I do. I like some of these comedians that are out now, but, yeah, they are a little different from the legendary comedians who actually had to fight to get through the door to make it happen for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we got this little beef going on between Kevin Hart and Mike Epps. One thinks one better than the other one, and it's like, okay, it's not that serious. Come on, guys. Now, both of you are great people in the film industry. You dare. Come on. Let's not start messing up and let these people think that we have to act like this. That's not the way we do it. Let's act professional.
I'm not familiar with the piece that's going on, but, comics, by and large, don't like each other.
Well, supposedly, Chris, from what I was reading, Mike Epps said some things about him on the radio show, and he didn't like it too much. So Kevin Hart had to come back and say, well, you need to be working, getting out there, and I can shut your shows down. I was like, okay, now come on. We know. Well, like I said, both of them are good, so we should act like adults. Because what are you really teaching the children? Are you teaching the children to do tic-tac-toe? Because that's what it's called. You make your ex, and I make my own, so we win? No. But now, how far should a comedian go when it comes to vulgarity and sensitivity to you, Chris?
I don't think there are any boundaries.
Okay.
I mean, I think, I mean, I look at comedy as an art form, and I think once you start putting boundaries on that, you limit and you restrain the art. I don't think that that's something that, you know, that should be done. I mean, everybody, humor is subjective. What's funny to one person is funny to another. Where's the line? The line is subjective for everybody. Yeah, there's a general sense of what's good taste and what's bad taste. But, I mean, if you're going to really push the envelope and you really want to do something that no one else is, you're going to have to go over some boundaries. So, yeah, I'm not opposed. I don't think that there are any boundaries.
Right, because listening to Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy, when I would listen to them, all you could hear is just the vulgarity coming out. You're like, whoa. I have to tell my children, I'd be like, oh, you cannot be in the same room right now. This is not good. But it kept going, like you said. They were very. He was very genuine. Now, as far as it goes with the IMDb, how important is it for an actor to have a profile?
It's very important because I mean that's like your business card nowadays.
Okay.
So, you know, for people who, you know, and nowadays it's like, you know, anytime you say, yeah, I'm so-and-so, look me up. You know, so they look you up on, you know, they Google you and they find your IMDb. I don't particularly really care for it myself because I don't really need it.
Right.
So I don't, I mean, if you go to my IMDb, there's nothing on there. I mean, that's something for people to just sort of doubt a little bit. You know, say, look what I've done. Look at my credits. You know, but for an actor, for a working actor, for a comedian, those credits are important. So I would suggest to any up-and-comer, just, you know, try to get as many credits as possible. Get yourself noticed and, you know.
That's what it's all about. Let somebody know your name. As long as they know who you are out there, that means so much. That's why I try to do this radio show, because I want my name to be known. You know, not just for you to see my resume on a piece of paper, but to know that I am doing some active, and because my major was communication, so I do my records. If I ever do get a job in the news industry, to know, okay, this young lady took the initiative to do something else besides just wait for that door to open.
Yeah, and that's really cool. That's really cool.
Thank you. Did you go to the Sundance Film Festival this year?
No. No, I've actually never been to a film festival, believe it or not. I don't like them. That's where most of this idea of them doing everything online comes from. So my partner's gone to many of them. But I didn't stay away from all that Hollywood BS.
I know that. I don't blame you. It's just too much going on. Every time you turn on the news, you see one of the celebrities, it looks like they're just going down and down. I mean, they start off so good, not calling names. Yes, I am going to call names. Lindsay Lohan, Amanda Bynes. I mean, they start off as these child stardoms, and then they hit rock bottom. It's like drugs, alcohol, everything just takes over. And that was the main subject they were talking about one day on TV, how heroin has hit the community so strong. I mean, it's just really sad. I mean, you can't get wrapped up in it. That's basically it. I'm glad that you're not getting wrapped up into it, because it's all glamour. It's commercialized, just like we do for Christmas and any other holidays. That Hollywood lifestyle is commercialized. It makes you feel like it's all glamour and gold, but you really don't know what these people actually have to go through every day. The paparazzi, listen to the press, waking up, got to tell these lies. So that has to be pressure. I'm sure it's not taking ice cream.
Yeah. No, it's not. I mean, even from the business side of things, it's not as glamorous. I mean, yeah, sure, you see a picture here on a red carpet, but you got to see all the steps that lead up to that red carpet and all the hard work that goes into putting something like that together. It's not as glamorous as everyone thinks it is. So I try not to get caught up into it because, you know, I come from the operational side and the putting everything together. So, you know, I understand what the value of hard work is and how much time and energy goes into something. Even a stand-up comic. I mean, I traveled done shows all over, and you know, I never got caught up into it like I was some sort of celebrity. No matter how big the venue, how small the venue, or how many people were trying to get pictures with me afterwards, it never got to my head. You know, if all these people were waiting for me in the front, I'd go out the back. You know, but it's a lot of time, a lot of hard work that goes into crafting an act, to perfecting your jokes. It just doesn't happen one day, you know? It's not like, you know, you decided I'm going to get on stage and I'm going to be the funniest guy, you know, in Brooklyn. No, I mean, it's like you eat a lot of crap and you work really hard.
Yeah. And I like, who's another actress? I like Kiki Palmer because she almost reminds me of you. She said that she never got caught up in the fame and the money, and that's what it's all about. Some people get caught up, especially if you never had it. If you never had it, then you don't understand what it's like to actually, you don't know how to control yourself, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a t-shirt and jeans guy. I don't even wear shoes. I figured out never to wear shoes in my life. I like wearing sandals. That's why I moved to California. You'll never see me in a suit. Maybe the best you'll ever see me is a sports jacket. But, you know,
right.
I don't get caught up in all that crap. I don't wear jewelry. I don't. Watches are obsolete in today's society. There's no need for any of that crap, you know?
Exactly. And if you don't have God in your life, then you can't really navigate through this world without him. You can't. There's so much temptation. It's temptation everywhere you turn. Same time, you got to look at this industry. Yes, you do love it, but love it for the right reasons and not the wrong reasons. And stay in the forefront. Some other distractions around you, they'll take you down. And that's why I said, listen to Chris, is a strong person. And anybody who's out there willing to do that, you got to have a strong mind. Don't get caught up. It will take you down so quickly. But what are your goals in the next few years, Chris, for New Hope Film Festival?
I'm not sure at the moment. You know, we did our first one, and we're just still in the process of evaluating where our next steps are going to be. You know, I don't know about any future dates, any future festivals. Nothing's been set in stone. So, you know, I've got some other projects that I'm working on. And, you know, we did something cool. And now we got to see, you know, what we can do to, you know, grow it in the future, if at all. So.
Exactly.
That's just where we're at right now with the New Hope Film Festival.
Okay. So what hurdles have you experienced since you've been in this film festival?
The biggest hurdles is convincing filmmakers that this is safe and that to be progressive in their thinking, and forward thinking, rather. You know, they're so used to the BS that goes into, you know, I'm going to go to a film festival, I'm going to go pop some champagne bottles, I'm going to high-five people, someone's going to give me a minimum guarantee, I'm going to be a star. It doesn't work like that. You know, but they like the whining and dining, the schmoozing, the BS that I like, you know, that's all encompassing. You know, the filmmakers really, there was a resistance to really participate and to allow their films to be part of the film festival. You know, we had no track record as a film festival, so that was one hurdle. Another two is nobody had ever done an online film festival before. That's hurdle number two. You know, piracy, you know, is it safe? Yes, we have one of the most advanced platforms that we built out. So, you know, piracy, any issues that we have are the same issues that anybody at, like, Netflix or Hulu or iTunes has. You know, I'm just, you know, no matter how solid your system is, I'm sure there's some kid somewhere in some basement figuring out how to crack it, you know.
But
at the end of the day, nobody's trying to steal an independent – nobody's going to burn an independent film and go sell copies of it in Manhattan, you know, on the street, on a blanket. That's just not going to happen, not with independent films. So it's just a good way to get exposure and, you know, to get your art out there. If you're a true artist, this is the best way to really get your art out there.
Now, here in Atlanta, Georgia, they really get me when they sell these bootleg tapes and CDs, and I tell them I do not want that. You know, I like the real deal. I want to see the movie for the way it was created, not because you went inside the family and you taped it with your recorder, and now you want to sell it to me for $3 or $4. And then what also gets me too is that it don't really be tape good. I see people walking to the film, people talking. You like, seriously? No. Mm-mm, I will not buy it at all. I don't care how much it costs. I will spend my $20 on a good CD, I sure will, or wait for it to be down discounted at Walmart or somewhere and get my film. I'm not about to buy that bootleg stuff off the street and your tape. No.
Yeah. Yep.
As you were saying before, you know, about the fact that people get caught up in the fame and the money, I don't think I will want to be rich. It looks like it's just too stressful.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I don't have time for paparazzi in my face all day, want to take pictures, want to through your windows. No. Go somewhere, sit down.
Yeah, that's funny. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. They be peeking through folks' window like, really, are you outside the window? Can they at least get some privacy at night? Come on.
Yeah.
It don't make no sense. I just couldn't do it. That's just too much. I'd just rather be – I'm happy the way I am now. I don't have to worry about nobody following me, pushing on me. No, now I wouldn't mind the autograph. I wouldn't mind doing that.
Yeah.
That's not a problem.
Yeah.
But all the extra stuff in my business 24/7, no. But, you know, there are some actors – that no one hardly talks about, Steven Seagal, Angela Bassett. You don't hardly hear about them. I don't know how they are able to keep themselves quiet, but they're doing a very good job.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a smoke and mirrors game half the time, too. If you want to be out in the public, you're going to be out in the public. If you don't want to be out in the public, you don't have to be out in the public. So.
I got you. So it's up to you whether you want that attention or not. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. So
I'm actually short on time.
Chris, you know what, Chris? I'm glad that you did show up today on the show.
I'm sorry about the last time. Yeah.
That's all right, Chris. If anybody want to find you, Chris, can you give out your website quickly for us?
Yeah, it's just the NuHo Film Fest. NuHo Film Fest.com, and that's the website. They can go on there and they can watch the keynote address from Spike Lee and go check out the trailers of all the films that played in the last festival.
Well, I thank you so much, Chris, and happy Mother's Day to all the ladies in your family, too.
Thank you very much. Same to you.
You're welcome. You have a blessed one.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, listeners, I appreciate you for tuning in for this little time with me, and I will see you tomorrow at 12 o'clock p.m. Enjoy your Cinco de Mayo.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Tanisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.